So it's a verse that we mustn't breeze past. Just listen to it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful first because it speaks of the Son's absolute security in the Father's love. And secondly, it also contains the most incredible invitation to you and I. It's the most incredible invitation we will ever receive. This is an invitation from the eternal God to enter into the perfect eternal love of God. I mean, we should probably just stop right here, fall down on our knees and praise and worship him right now, shouldn't we? Listen to those words again from Jesus. Open your heart to this invitation, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. This is the creator of the universe talking to you, and he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. God says, come. Abide in me, in my love. The one who is love. He says, stay, make your home here and be loved by me just as I love my perfect Heavenly Father. What an invitation. I wonder if you've ever been around two people who are deeply in love with each other. The only person they can see in the room is the other. The only person they want to talk to is the other. And if they're not together, all they talk about is each other. They do anything, go anywhere to be with one another. I used to think nothing of driving to London from Southampton to go and see Ruth just for a few hours. All I wanted was to be with her, and it's still the same today. Much as we often have a messed up understanding of love as humans, we do also experience and witness something of the power and intensity of true love. Whether it's romantic love or the love of a parent for a child or between two very good friends, you know that love is a mighty force. But none of the love that you have seen or known in human relationships even begins to compare to the love of the God of the Father for his Son and the God of the Son for the Father. Their love is on another level. There are two moments where we see the curtain drawn back on the relationship, on their relationship in the Gospels. One when Jesus is baptized, and one in the Transfiguration on the mountain. Listen to what the Father says. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The Father's love overflows with such joy and delight as he looks upon his Son that he has to declare it. It comes overflowing. He has to thunder it from heaven. And Jesus rejoices in this love. In John 3, he says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. And then in John 5:20, he says, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. Jesus is so supremely confident in the Father's love for him. A love that from all eternity has been full of delight and full of generosity. The love of the Father for the Son is deeper, richer, fuller than any love you or I have ever seen or felt anywhere else. Because rather than pushing others out, it draws others in. The triune God is offering this divine love to you. He is welcoming you into the eternal relationship of love that exists at the heart of all creation. Think back to that couple in love. While it's lovely in a way, the fact is you can only ever observe that relationship. There's something very exclusive about it. It's kind of awkward to be around. If you're hanging out with a couple like that, you can feel pretty unseen and a gooseberry, as they say. But this is not how it is with God's love for the Son. He wants for you to be a living, loving member of this relationship. To be caught up in it. Not just to watch it, but to actually receive it and abide, remain in it. We saw last time Jesus uses the image of the vine here in John 15 to help us understand what it means by that word abide. He wants us to understand that he is the source of our relationship with the Father. We only get to come in and experience the love that flows between them in Jesus. All the life, all the love are in him, the vine. But he has grafted us in, made us branches, so that the love that flows between him and the Father now flows into us, the branches, as we abide, remain in him. He exhorts us to continue to trust him, to abide in him, to be branches. And so we might think, well, why would anybody want to do anything else? Why would anybody ever want to leave a love like this? Well, Jesus clearly knows there's dangers. There is a danger that we will. And I think it's at least partly because our view of what love is and how it should feel are so formed by the world and the culture around us. And being in the vine, remaining in Jesus, doesn't always feel like what the world promises. We have bought into the lie that love is about feeling warm and fuzzy and fulfilled. If it's true love, it will make me feel good and all the time. I'll have this fuzzy feeling. It will make my life happier and more exciting, like a big dopamine hit. But receiving and experiencing love, the true love of God, actually can feel really hard at times. Because it drives against our natural human passions. What do I mean? Well, in verse 10, Jesus reveals what is at the heart of his love for the Father. And to our modern ears, I think it comes as a huge shock. Look down at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you see there that the heart of the love that the Son has for the Father is obedience? And likewise, we are to abide in Jesus' love by obeying. And so I want to say that the not-so-secret secret, it's not a secret, Jesus has told us, the secret of abiding is obeying. I'm guessing that for most of us, that jars a bit. Because to submit in obedience to someone is seen in our culture as pathetic, weak. A weak thing that no human should ever have to do. We live in a culture now where it seems parents have lost all authority. It's all been taken away from them because it's considered abusive to insist your child obey and submit to you. Teachers in schools speak of the challenge in this culture. Young people are no longer expected to listen to them and do what they say. We're told that instead we should all be standing up for our autonomous rights and be able to live out our own truth without any restrictions from anybody else. Obedience and submission have become dirty words in our society. And the scary thing is, I see it in my own heart. If I'm honest, I don't want to obey and submit to those in authority over me. Who are they to tell me what to do? I'll do it my way, thank you. But it doesn't stop there. So often I feel the pull of my heart against God's authority. I know you say this, God, but I really think I'm the exception. What you say just doesn't feel right for my life right now. I want what I want so strongly. So I'm just going to take a break from obeying you for today, God. I'll try a bit harder tomorrow, maybe, if I feel like it. The irony is, God created us to be at the pinnacle of his creation. But everything else in the universe obeys God's laws, except man. Just think what the study of science shows us. As we study science, we discover nature's obedience and submission to God's laws. The law of gravity, Newton's law of motion, Kepler's law of planetary motion, and on and on. The biggest stars and the tiniest cells all obey God's will. This is what keeps the universe together. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds do his bidding, we're told in Psalm 148. No part of his natural creation would ever think of questioning God's will, let alone disobeying it. It is their joy to obey the one who made them. But humanity has been deceived to believe that there's more joy to be found in something else. And so Jesus' call to love through obeying here comes as a huge shock to our human ears. Surely obedience hasn't got anything to do with love. They're two different things, completely opposing to each other, surely. But Jesus places love and obedience side by side. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Jesus says, do you love me? Then obey my word. Even when it calls you to die to yourself in the process. And Jesus says this because obedience is what lies at the heart of his own love for his Father. You see, the Son's love is a true filial love. The term filial love refers to the love of a child for a parent. And as the Son of God, the primary way that Jesus reveals filial love is by obedience to his Father. Turn back to John 14 and verse 31 and hear what Jesus says. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. This is actually the only time in Scripture that Jesus states his love for the Father explicitly. And what is fascinating is that what we see is that the focus of his love for the Father is in his obedience. And this is not just about his relationship with the Father in his humanity. I believe we're getting an insight into the relationship between the Father and Son for all eternity. You see, I think John's Gospel shows us that the nature of God the Son is that he has always obeyed the Father. And I think this is worth saying because there is a debate that often comes up in theological circles about what they call EFS, which is shorthand for the eternal functional subordination of the Son. It sounds complicated, but basically, the issue is, if the Son is eternally obedient to the Father, then does that mean he is a lesser being, not divine? But that would be a misunderstanding of the nature of obedience, I believe. Do you remember, we've talked before about how Jesus grew up as a boy and he submitted to his parents. He obeyed them. Could there be any more proof that the one who obeys is no less than the other, the one whom they obey? Jesus obeys the Father not because he is less than the Father in any way. He is equally God, one. Jesus obeys the Father because he is the perfect, loving Son. And obedience is at the heart of love. We see the Son's obedience manifested all the way through John's Gospel. Listen to these words of Jesus that we hear throughout. John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Chapter 5, verse 30, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Chapter 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. See, the heart of the Father-Son relationship is reflected in their eternal plan, which involves the Father sending the Son to reveal their love and salvation, and the Son obediently going. Because this is what it means for a son to love a father. My children regularly tell me they love me, which is always lovely to hear. But how do I really know they love me? Well, it's when they listen to what I say and trust me and obey. Which is often why, especially at bedtimes, I respond, okay, show me that. Show me you love me by getting into bed. You see, the proof of their love for me as their dad is not their lovely words, which are easy to say, but in their actions, in their obedience. Because this shows where their heart really is. And as Jesus, the Son of God, steps into creation with all of the weakness and frailness of a man, he shows us what true obedience looks like in the flesh. David Mathis writes, all of Jesus' human life led him to this garden. As he knelt and prayed in Gethsemane, waiting in agony, with beads of sweat like great drops of blood falling down to the ground, there he made the final choice. Countless decisions, big and small, brought him here. But only in the garden did he finalize the decision to go to the cross. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, he prayed. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There on his knees, Jesus chose with his human will, like ours, which naturally recoiled at the threat of pain and death, to embrace the one divine will of his Father, which was also his as eternal Son. On that night, Jesus showed us what fighting the passions that our world calls love looks like, in order to fight for something far better. In Hebrews it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You see, the Father's will is always good. Jesus knew that, because he was fully God, and it was his divine will too. But in his humanity, he wrestled with the pain of it. And ultimately, his love for the Father drove him towards the joy that waited on the other side of that pain. The joy that he rose to as he now sits at the Father's right hand as the obedient Son in whom the Father delights. So you see, when Jesus calls us to obedience, he's calling us to be sons and daughters like him. We have become children of God in him. And we're to act like children of God, like him. Turn back briefly with me to chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says to us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by me. By my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. It's that invitation again into that eternal love. This connection of love and obedience is really important for us to see. We live in a world that completely disconnects them, but the question is, how do we obey Jesus then? We'll look back at verse 12 of chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is what he calls us to. To love as he loves. This is how we abide. I wonder if you saw this story, this news story a couple of years ago. This young dad, David Cole, was enjoying a day at the beach with his wife and two young boys. He'd taken his three-year-old for a swim in the sea, leaving his wife and one-year-old watching on the shore, but suddenly he and his little boy got caught up in a riptide. The news article reported that the 30-year-old kept his son above the water and saved his life, but sadly he never regained consciousness himself. A coroner told a short inquest hearing that Mr. Cole became exhausted while saving his son. This is the kind of love that Jesus calls us to. A love that sacrifices even life, one's own life, to love another. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now, does that sound like a love that is all fluffy and tingly? Do you think that dad had a feel-good dopamine hit as he fought to save his son? No, it felt like death. And so it will for us. I don't know if many of us will be called to literally give our physical lives up in the service of Jesus for one another. We might. But often it's in the less dramatic moments that we find the decision to die to ourselves harder. When we desperately want to be free to fulfill our desires for selfish pleasure, to get what we want, not to give it away. Jesus knows the battle we face. And so as he drops this bombshell about obedience being at the heart of love, he adds this great encouragement in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Not only is obedience the heart of love, it's how you will find abundant joy. Jesus loves us and wants us to know joy and life to the full. If we live a life in relationship with him, obediently following his design for our lives, we will find true joy. No matter how painful the road of obedience may be that God calls you along, joy always awaits at the end. It grows even as you obey, because it is part of the fruit God bears in you as you abide in him. The vineyard is an image used throughout the Old Testament as a picture of God's people. We looked at chapter 5 of Isaiah in our home group. You might want to do that in your home group this week. In Isaiah 5, Israel is a beautiful vineyard that God has lovingly prepared, cultivated, and tended. But then we see it has fallen to ruin and destruction. It yields wild grapes, and in the end it is devoured. It's a tragic picture of what Israel's rejection of God and disobedience to him has produced. Fruitlessness and destruction. But now here in John's Gospel, Jesus reveals he is the true vine. Because he is the Son of God who obeys him fully, and he bears much fruit. This is why it matters that we're branches. The only way for us to be God's obedient people who truly obey him and find true joy is to be in Jesus, in the vine, with his life flowing through us. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, verse 5. But Paul writes, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It is now possible for us to love him and to grow in our love for him more and more, because he is at work in us, through us, and he abides in us. So abide. Stay in his love by obeying. And obey by staying. So I wonder, what's this going to look like for you? Where is Jesus calling you to obey today? Is there an area of your life that you aren't prepared to hand over to him, to abide in him? Where you aren't willing to lay it down for him and obey his command to take up your cross and follow him? An area where the banner over it is still, "My will be done." Maybe it's your finances and home comforts. You think, "God, you can have everything else. I'll obey you in everything else. But my money, my home, they're my own. I earn them. I'm willing to sacrifice to a point, but I need to be financially secure. I can't risk giving my money completely into your hands." Maybe you find his teaching on sexuality hard to follow. It just grates so much with all that your friends believe and maybe your own feelings. "I'm willing to follow you in every other area, Lord. But to accept your word on this, that's just too hard." Maybe you're obedient to Jesus in your private life, but you're hiding your faith from your friends and work colleagues. "I'm committed to following you, Lord. But it's easier just to keep it to me and you thing, if that's okay." Or maybe you avoid non-Christians altogether because you don't want them to burst your cozy Christian bubble. "The world's a scary place, Lord. I'll just stick to serving you here where I'm comfortable, if you don't mind." Jesus says, "Look at me. Look at the love and joy I offer you. A love more powerful than anything else that seeks to control you. So powerful that it can wipe away all your sin. So powerful that it has already raised you spiritually and will one day draw you up from the grave physically. A joy that is beyond anything else you will find in this world. Come back to me. Stay with me. Abide in me. Like a branch, like a child, utterly dependent. Trust me. Trust my love. Choose my ways with my help. Keep surrendering your will to mine in everything. Go where I send you. Give what I ask of you. Bear the fruit I want to grow in you. And I'll replace empty passion with fruitful joy forever. Abide in me." Maybe you need a moment as we close to do some business with Jesus, to offer your life to him, to give him those areas of your life that maybe you've been holding back from him, to come to him and abide in him. So let's have a moment's quiet, and then I'll lead us in a closing prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have opened your love to us. We thank you that you have invited us to join in your eternal love. And we praise you and thank you. We thank you that you offer your help to abide in you, to receive the fullness of joy in that love. And Lord, we know how much we need your help. We need you to change us, to transform us, to help us in those hard moments when we don't want to obey you. Lord, would you help us to obey you, to go where you send us, to give all that we have, that you would bear much fruit, more fruit in us, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.